Okay, up next, our fourth person who's behind the secret door, and I am still one for two because we are going to nullify Ian Pennett or Estelle because of trickery. So we'll be back in a moment. Let's see if I can guess who this person is when we come back. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Here's our final guest who's behind the secret door. Let's open the door. And in comes the guest. Hello there, guest.
Good morning, George. Happy Thanksgiving wishes to you and your listening audience all over the world, George.
I know this voice. Oh, tip of my tongue. Let me ask you a few questions. I get three questions.
Okay.
Before I have to guess. Have you been on recently?
Yes.
Okay. Are you are more newsy than paranormal, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you deal with economic trends?
Yes, I do.
Are you Joseph Meyer?
Yes, I am.
Ah, I knew it. I knew it. See, I remembered your voice, Joseph. At least you didn't trick me. You weren't part of the deception that they've been trying to do to me all night. But it's good to hear your voice. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was a very nice Thanksgiving, a very peaceful and quiet one. How was yours?
It was great, Joseph. And I'm glad you're on because I want to talk to you about where you think we're headed with the new administration and everything. But, of course, this morning now, Friday, people are lining up outside stores already.
Yes,
Black Friday is supposed to be the beginning of the retail Christmas season to jumpstart for these retail companies that so desperately need a boost. How do you think it's going to go this year?
Well, I think it's going to go better than it would have certainly had not President Trump been elected. And I think when we look at the positives moving forward, as you know, he's talked about cutting taxes, reducing regulation, rebuilding our U.S. infrastructure, creating decent-paying jobs, and lastly and very importantly, George, rebuilding our military. So I think it's very positive.
So many people have talked about, Joseph, a massive collapse of the stock market, another housing bubble. I've heard that from more than one person. What's your take on all of that?
Well, you know, the last time we visited, George, which was July 21st, I indicated to you at that time that I thought the U.S. equity market could go to 20,000 in the Dow, and I thought we could see the S&P reach 2350.
Down, we're pretty close.
I still believe we'll see 20,000 in the Dow. We may not see it through the month of December, but I think we'll see it in the early part of 2017. We're only 5% away from those levels, George.
Once we get to those levels, then what?
Then I think we have to reassess the big picture. As you know, we've got some major problems. We've got widespread poverty, high unemployment, underemployment, downward mobility, and crushing national debt and massive consumer debt as well. So I think once we get to these levels and we get into the new year, we've got to reassess where we're going and give President Trump certainly the opportunity to put in place his programs in the first 100 days.
Joseph, why does it take a non-politician, a guy who's been successful in business and not successful? I mean, he's got some issues out there. But why does it take someone like that to talk common sense about jumpstarting the economy, lowering taxes, doing the right thing? How come these other politicians aren't doing that for us?
Well, because I think the problems were very great and the solutions were equally very difficult. And I think it took a businessman and a very successful businessman to look at where we've been and, more importantly, map out a strategy as to where he wants to take the country. I think it was as simple as that, George.
The tax cut will be a boost for the economy.
Yes, it will.
Okay, so once the Dow, let's say, hits its 20,000 mark, could it implode?
Well, I think if we hit the 20,000 mark in the Dow, and again, I reiterate, I think it's very likely, I think we could undergo a very meaningful correction. As you know, typically bull markets last about 3.5 to 4 years. This bull market now is over 7.5 years old. So at one point, probably sooner than later, we're going to see a significant correction in the equity markets, George.
What will it take for that to happen, Joseph? Will there be a war? Will there be some kind of calamity? What do you think the trigger might be?
Well, I think the trigger may be rising interest rates. As you know, we've had money fleeing the bond market, coming into the equity markets, and we've seen interest rates move up significantly over the short term. We could see problems come out of the Middle East. We could see more problems with the European Union and the IMF. There's a lot of things out there, as positive as things look right now, George, that could go wrong.
So this new president, when he takes over in January, this is not a slam dunk easy job, is it?
No, it is not.
He's going to have a lot to do, and he's going to have to be very careful with what he does it if he wants to be a two-termer, right?
Well, I think he's got a lot on his plate. I think we've got to bring in the very best and qualified people that are certainly willing to serve in government. And quite honestly, I don't think it's going to be an easy path as everyone would like to believe. We've got some very serious problems. They're going to take time to solve. And we may not see the results that he certainly is bringing forth as quickly as most people would want to believe. I think that's the reason the equity markets maybe at this point getting somewhat ahead of themselves, George.
To attempt to be as nonpartisan as you can be here, Joseph, what kind of a torch has he been handed? What is he going to be running with from the Obama administration?
Well, I think he's running with certainly trying to bring peace to the Middle East, create some decent paying jobs, repair the infrastructure of America, and certainly rebuild our military and make it once again the strongest military in the world. So I think he's got a lot of challenges. I don't think these things are going to be easy, but I think this is a man who's proven in the past that he can handle difficulty, handle it very well, and bring some results to the bottom line. I'm very optimistic in the long term, George.
Now, President Obama was handed, of course, a disaster from the Bush administration. So how would you rate how he handled the economy, which, as you said, has been pretty robust over the last 7-8 years?
Yes, it has.
Would you give him a-minus, a B-plus? What would you give him as a grade?
Well, I'd have to give him a B-minus because I think, you know, where he could have done a better job was creating decent-paying jobs and certainly tackling what needs to be done and rebuilding the infrastructure of America. I think money went into the banks, it went into Wall Street, and I think it never really at the point filtered down into the pockets of the average working class American. Hopefully that's going to change and change now very soon.
Yeah, I hope so too. Now, I do think saving General Motors made sense because I think that company would have gone belly up.
I agree.
You? Yeah, he did a good job there. So if you were Donald Trump and you're in there, what would you do? What would the first thing you would do? Cut the taxes? What would you attempt to do?
Well, the first thing I would do is repeal Obamacare because I think it's a failure. No one can afford the premiums on his health insurance. Second thing I would do is put my tax cuts in place and certainly try to get the economy up and moving and reduce regulation any way we can. And as the president-elect has said, for every new regulation that's put in place, they're going to repeal two existing regulations and certainly get the infrastructure programs up and running and put people back to work as quickly as possible. Those are the priorities I would certainly look to do if I were President George.
We're with Joseph Meyer, of course. He was one of our Secret Door guests, and I got it right. So I'm 2 out of 3 tonight. Not bad. 67.33%. That's pretty good percent, Joseph.
It's a very good percentage, George.
Now, had I missed you, I would have been 1 for 3. It would have been 33%. I'm not counting my third guest because they tricked me and deceived me. And
you know, we've done 7 shows together.
Yeah.
I've done 14 shows with Co since 2004, and this is the 7th appearance with you, George. So I was pretty sure you would recognize my voice.
You've got a distinctive voice. You didn't alter it at all. And once I got into the economic questions, I knew it was you, and we do it. So what would you tell prospective people? I mean, because you run your investment counseling company, what would you tell prospective people who want to invest in 2017?
Well, I think it's a time for caution. I think it's a time for opportunity. I'm writing, as you know, the December 2016 issue of Straight Money Analysis. Going to outline, as we do in every issue of the newsletter, where we are, where we're going, and when I think, more importantly, we'll get there. Going to offer once again, out of my respect, and certainly the great work you've done on Coast to Coast, and we appreciate you, George, the discount
Thank
on
you.
The newsletter. Going to let the subscribers come in and become certainly part of the newsletter at a discount. Going to offer the one-year subscription of Straight Money Analysis at the six-month subscription price, George.
Excellent. Well, thank you. You care about our listeners, and I do appreciate that, Joseph. I really do. I want all of us to get through what has been a tumultuous time back in 2007 and 8.
Yes.
And then, you know, things have been, I think had the president, this president who's in office, not done Obamacare, he probably would have been looked at as a pretty good president right now, don't you think?
Well, I think on balance, he's certainly done some things that were good, but I think there were certainly a lot of things that he could have done, and for whatever reason, he did not.
He did not.
But I think when you talk about wealth and you talk about the distribution of it, you know, it's been a rough last couple of years, and hopefully now we're going to be going down a new path and things are going to change and change for the better.
Can we build up the middle class again, Joseph?
Well, you know, I've said many times that we've gone through difficulties in the past. This is the greatest country in the world. We've been through depressions, we've been through world wars, and we'll get through this. You know, someone asked me one time, is the American dream dead? And I said, no, I don't believe the American dream is dead, but I do believe it's been very badly wounded. Hopefully we're now on a healing path to take care of that, George.
I've got a granddaughter who's in her last year of college, and of course when she graduates, hopefully she'll get a nice job tied to her degree. And what would you recommend to a person? I'm going to talk to you, Joseph, in terms of ages. But what would you first recommend somebody who's just come out of college, they got a job, maybe they're making $30,000 or $40,000 a year. What do they do to build their future?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is understand you have a long way to go in life. And as I said many times, we all have to run our own race, and I think there are priorities for a lot of people. You know, they come out of a university, the first thing they want to do is buy a home, or more importantly, start a business. And I think the most important thing you can do is start saving some money and slowly invest in your future and look to alternative investments that can allow you to certainly grow your capital and put in place a very solid long-term retirement plan. That's the way I see it, George.
How about somebody who's in their 40 to 50s?
Well, again, that's a different situation. As you know, most
right.
times people get in their 40s and 50s and they change vocation and or they change jobs. I think the greatest thing people can do in their 40s and 50s is invest once again in themselves and their own talent.
60 and up?
That's a tough one. When you're 60 and up, I think you've got to take a look at, you're not many years from retirement. You've got to protect certainly your equity and your capital in the various investments you have. And you certainly don't want to take any reckless or stupid moves with your hard-earned money.
Well, and what would you call a reckless move, just so we can picture this?
Well, I think going in and utilizing leverage in markets you don't understand and taking risk far beyond what you're capable and suitable to be part of and trying to make up for years where you didn't save or certainly mm-hmm. invest wisely and trying to hit a home run over the short term and hope it works out for the best when in a lot of instances, you can't certainly tolerate the risk of the investment being a failure. I think that's one of the greatest risks, George.
High risk, high returns, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Interesting take. Is it better sometimes then as you progress in age to be a little more conservative?
Well, I think you have to be. You know, you're running out of time in which you're going to be a meaningful participant in the workforce, and you got to protect your capital. And you got to protect your savings at all costs, George.
Joseph Meyer with us. His website, straightmoneyanalysis.com, will be linked up at coasttocoastam.com. They don't put the names up on the website because they're all trying to trick me, but we got them this time. Two out of three people. We had Stephen Quayle. Ian Punnett was a deceiver. I got Mr. Lobo. I missed Mr. Lobo, and I got Joseph Meyer, of course. Who?
You know what I want to do in addition, George?
What's that?
You've been so kind to me over the years. I'm going to throw in as a subscription bonus to any new subscriber the back issues of Straight Money Analysis for 2016. I'm going to give anyone sign up for the newsletter.
How many is that, Don?
I'm going to give you the March, the June, and the September. And if you become a subscriber, I'll give you the 1 year at the 6 month subscription price, save you $110. And we'll start your subscription from the December 2016 issue of the newsletter for a full 1 year subscription. How's that, George?
I like that. Now, someone gets a newsletter and they read it, and they read it closely. What
yes.
kind of information do they get out of it?
Well, you're going to be told exactly what's happening, why it matters, and more importantly, what you can and should be doing about it. I write about the economy, the stock and bond markets, gold, silver, oil, natural gas, and we write in great detail in every issue on Fed monetary policy, housing, and interest rates, George.
Beautiful. That's what I wanted to ask you about, too. Oil has been depressed for some time now.
Yes, it has.
Is that going to change?
I think we probably have seen a long-term bottom being put in place in oil, and I'm looking for significantly higher prices as we get into the new year. And quite frankly, I'm of the belief we've probably seen the low point in gasoline prices as well, George.
I remember truck drivers calling into the show years ago, Joseph, talking about how close diesel was to like $5 a gallon. And they were saying some of these guys were independents and women. They were saying, we can't do it. I mean, we can't. We're going to have to pass these costs on to the consumer or go out of business. It was a scary time.
Well, you know, we've seen $10 a barrel oil in my lifetime. We've seen $141 a barrel oil in my lifetime. So,
what's it sitting at now, Joseph?
Right around $46.50 a barrel, George.
$46.50. Is that fair?
Well, I think it's kind of low. I think it's being artificially kept down. I think the Saudis have certainly at some point have to do something to curb production
right.
and get prices back up. There isn't any way the oil-producing countries of the world can maintain their budgetary deficits with oil prices at these levels. They have to go back up, George.
Are they doing this to kill the frackers?
I think that's exactly the reason behind what they were doing, but I think at this point it's exhausted and it's no longer working.
It backfired on them, didn't it?
Well, it backfired on them, and we're going through very difficult times, as you know, in Venezuela. And, you know, I want to share something I think you'll get a kick out of and you'll find interesting. Recently, a one-ounce silver coin, which is very scarce, so certainly to the citizenry of Venezuela, but if you had a one-ounce silver coin, it would buy $250 worth of groceries. What do you think about that?
In Venezuela?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
Gee, how come? Why so low?
Well, you take a 1 ounce silver coin, it's worth about $20, but it'll buy over 10 times its intrinsic value. It'll buy $250 worth of groceries. The Venezuelan currency is literally worthless, George.
Well, that's true. But I mean, a one ounce of gold right now.
1 ounce silver coin.
Oh, silver coin. I'm thinking gold.
Oh, a 1 ounce gold.
Well, then, in that case, that's huge.
Yes, it is, George. Well, did you know at the height of the Weimar Republic in 1923 in Germany, a 1 ounce gold coin bought a whole city block in Frankfurt, Germany? That's just being a fact.
That is amazing, too. Okay, stay with us. Joseph Meyer with us. He is our guest behind the secret door. You've heard the incredible deals he's going to give you when you go to his website. StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. And when we come back, let's take phone calls for him. Anything that's on your mind financially, jump on board. We're going to have the last 30 minutes to do that, if you would, next. Welcome back with our final segment with Joseph Meyer as we talk about the economy and things that people are going to be facing. What do you think of the internet compared to retail stores, Joseph?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt it's had a tremendous impact, and I think it's taken an awful lot of floor traffic out of the stores, and I think it's going to certainly increase. We're living in a very unique and different time, and with the technology, the way it's evolving, George, you know, nothing's beyond our reach and grasp.
No, that's absolutely true. And when you were younger, were you always interested in the financial world?
Well, you know, I started investing when I was 19 in 1966, and I went up on Wall Street in 1972 as a fully licensed professional. I was only 25 years old. This past August, I turned 70, so come January, I'm going to be 45 years as a professional on Wall Street. But, you know, I've also been an arbitrator mediator with FINRA now 21 years as well, George.
And in arbitration, what's the goal? What are you trying to do?
Well, the goal is to resolve the conflict amicably between the parties in a very neutral, unbiased manner. That's the rule of arbitration, and mediation is a similar process.
And the arbitrator makes that decision?
Yes, he does.
Do they do that in lieu of going to court?
Yes, they do, George.
I guess it's easier, isn't it?
It's a lot less inexpensive.
That's true. Okay, let's take some calls with the time we have remaining.
Okay,
east
George.
Of the Rockies, Mary in Wisconsin. You're on with Joseph Meyer. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi. The other day I was listening to your guest, Jim Rickards, and
yeah.
He was talking about the money market situation,
mm-hmm.
The rules. He was talking about the possibility of suspended redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a big list here of all the things he talked about, but I would like your guest take on that. Really concerned about that, and I'm sure a lot of other people are as well.
We've been talking about over the past few weeks, Joseph, about money market funds.
Yes.
And that with some new changes, that it's not a slam dunk that your money's going to be there tomorrow. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think it's a slam dunk that your money's going to be anywhere tomorrow, George, and I think that's why you have to diversify what you're doing, and you have to look at the highest degree of safety, and you have to understand the risk if you're taking it in the market as to what it truly represents. This is what I write about in every issue of the newsletter. We try to educate people with facts and information that can make their life somewhat easier. That's the reason I've started to write Straight Money Analysis. I'm writing the newsletter, as you know, George, 7 years.
Well, is it possible that people will put money in a bank and then when they go to get it, it's gone?
Well, you know, go back and study history. Look what happened during the Great Depression. We had over 5,000 banks close.
Yeah, I know. That was a nightmare for people. They couldn't get their money out. What money they had.
Well, you know, you had the stock market peak out, as you know, in September 1929 at 381 in the Dow, and it didn't bottom until late 1932 at 41. So it lost over 90% of its value, and if you had money in the bank closed its store, and you lost that as well.
If those people, though, had just, because they talked about how disastrous it was.
Yes.
But in theory, you don't lose money in a stock until you sell it. So
well,
if
you don't lose money in a stock until, number one, you sell it and or the company goes broke.
That's right. So let's in the Depression, of those stocks that went down, what percent of those companies, Joseph, just went out of business?
Well, you had a portion of them that went out of business, and naturally the markets went through a very difficult time. But again, I'm a historian on the markets, as you know, George. After the crash in 1929, we didn't get back above the level of Dow 381 until 1954. It took 25 years.
Wow. Okay.
So after the peak in the Dow in 1966, which you know was the first time the Dow got over 1,000, we didn't close back over 1,000 and stay above it till 1983. It took 17 years. That's why this 20,000 level in the Dow could be very key and very important, and we may not get above that for quite some time once we do, George.
How far down could it go if that bubble bursts?
Well, I think you got to look at two levels. You got to look at number one, the 2007 peak, which was around 14,100 in the Dow. And if we don't hold there, then I think we can go down to the 2000 top 11780 in the Dow. So I think we are looking at a meaningful and certainly deep correction. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when it begins.
Jeez.
But I do think this market wants to go higher. As I said earlier, we're only about 5% away from the 20,000 level in the Dow. And I do believe, and I'll reiterate it one more time, we will get there. It's just a question of if.
If you're sitting on cash and it comes down to that level, would you jump back in?
Well, that would depend on a lot of things. I'd like to see certainly how high interest rates go before they stabilize, and I'd like to see if the economy is starting to grow once again and we're starting to create the meaningful paying jobs and put money back into the pockets of the consumer. The market right now at these levels, quite honestly, George, is as excessively overvalued as it was in 2000, and we all know what happened after that. This market is selling at a very high valuation, and if it can go higher, I think it's going to do it very, very gradually. I don't think we're going to see the big gains that a lot of people are expecting. An awful lot has been already built into what this market has been able to do. I think you have to recognize that. I would rather look at the precious metals at these levels rather than put any fresh new capital into the stock market.
Well, one of the funny things about all of this, Joseph, is people really don't know when the top is the top and when the bottom's the bottom.
Well, I think everyone has to have a plan. Everyone's situation is different. Again, everyone's tolerance for risk is different. And I think there's times to be in the market, and quite frankly and honestly, there's times to be out of them. I think if you're in the equity markets now, and it doesn't mean you sell everything tomorrow morning, but I think there is a point where you should be taking money off the table, raising some cash reserves, and preparing once this market tops out for lower prices. I think that's the most prudent thing you can be doing.
Let's go to Jack in Utica, New York. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Yeah, George kind of asked a question during while I was on hold, so let me, maybe I can try to pick your brain a little bit. If we have money in an account, say we got $5,000 in an account, and it closes, isn't that money FDIC, isn't it federally insured? And if the federal government can't bail us out, we're belly up anyway. And my second question is, if we were $9 trillion in debt when Obama took office, and now we're, what, $20 trillion? At what level are we not allowed to keep going? $30 trillion, $40 trillion, $50 trillion?
All right, let's take that one first, Joseph. What is our debt level now?
Well, our debt level is $20 trillion. I think when you talk about our national debt, the caller's absolutely right. We've had a doubling of our national debt, as you know, over the last 8 years, George. Consumer debt as well is at an all-time high. We've also got 20 million more people on food stamps than we had a decade ago.
Jesus.
So certainly things are deteriorating, but To address the point on the FDIC, no one's ever lost a dime that was in a bank insured by FDIC. So I think, you know, we've got history on our side that the FDIC will step in and step in where needed. As far as our national debt, you know, as long as we're a world reserve currency, we can run a printing press. No telling how high we can run up this national debt before it collapses, George.
Well, here's the problem. If Trump wants to lower taxes, what are we going to do with all this debt that we've got right now?
That's the question I don't think any of us really have a handle on and or an answer.
I mean, you can't lower when you have this problem. Something's got to give.
Well, we've got to start paying down the debt. We've got to start cutting back on these social programs. Quite honestly, George, we just can't afford them any longer.
That's the problem. Is Social Security at risk?
Well, I don't think you can rule out anything at this point. You know, Social Security was set up, as you know, in the early 1930s. Basically, at the time the program was enacted, we had seven people paying in for everyone drawing down benefits. We now have three people paying in for everyone drawing down benefits. The fund is going to run out of money. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, George.
Scott in Iowa, welcome to the show. Scott, go ahead.
Yeah. I'd just like to comment that I believe, just like I voted for Trump, the reason was I was tired of seeing a monarchy. And I'll tie this into what he's talking about. In my lifetime, I've seen one Bush and then a coronation for the next Bush, and they were going to do it again. And I don't think anybody wanted that. And it's the same with Bill, you know, passing it to Hillary.
Right.
And what I'm trying to tie in is when we talk taxes and things, we've had no industry, none. That doesn't just help the blue-collar worker. That helps taxes that business is in. You know, whatever area it's in, whether it's Detroit, Des Moines, Houston, Texas, you know. And that's what we needed to do. We were shipping everything overseas. If I go through 12 things in my house, okay, a modest house, and I pick over them, I will find that 11 of them are made in China. That's what's got to stop. And thank you, gentlemen. Have a great night.
Thanks, Scott. You want to react to some of that, Joseph?
Well, I think the call is absolutely right. I think the country became fed up with father and son presidencies, and we were looking at a husband and wife presidency, and people just wanted a change. And when Donald Trump announced his candidacy, I initially was very skeptical, as I think a lot of people were, but as his campaign went forward, there wasn't any doubt that this man had a vision, and if he would be lucky enough to be elected president, I think he would certainly make the country and the world a better place for us all, George.
Let's hope so. Earl in Sacramento, California, your turn. Earl, go ahead.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Your last couple of callers and comments have segued perfectly into what I called for. I think the most critical and important thing right now is everybody goes and reads Paul Denninger's last three letters on how medical monopolies will destroy the federal budget.
Mm-hmm.
And he has clearly articulated through arithmetic. He wrote the book Leverage in 2012, How Cheap Money Will Destroy the World. And basically, he has been in the top 30 websites ever. He is one of the founding members of the Tea Party. He's a Federalist. And the arithmetic is there. If everybody would get on board and send to Congress and plead our government to get rid of the medical monopolies, you would actually save Medicare, Medicaid, pensions, everything. And in his estimate, and the guy is brilliant in my opinion, we have 4 to 5 years to do that. And he does all the math. It's there. It's on his website. I would implore anybody, and George, if you would get him on your show, he's been on CNBC. He's just a remarkable individual. I've read him for 15 years, and I believe he has the solution. And he actually says that if we got rid of the medical monopolies, we would basically almost generate $2 trillion a year worth of income, and it would completely change our economy, our debt, everything. So I plead you to please look into that.
What do you think of that, Joseph? Would that work?
Well, you know, when you look at the beginnings of Medicare, as you know, it started in 1965, and you look at the healthcare system as to what it's involved in today, it's downright scary, George. You know, we've got the finest health care in the world, but it's also the most expensive, and most people on balance cannot afford it. You know, this is a situation that had to be addressed, and I'm saddened somewhat to say it wasn't addressed sooner, but we cannot continue down the road we're on. Things have to change and change dramatically. I couldn't agree more with your caller.
Joseph, as we wrap things up here, would you give us that special offer again that you have for our listeners?
Going to offer the listeners of Coast to Coast a full one-year subscription to Straight Money Analysis, normally $259.95, at the six-month subscription price of $149.95. Going to save $110 on the yearly subscription. And as a bonus, we're going to include the March, June, and September 2016 issues of Straight Money Analysis, and we'll start the full one-year subscription from the December 2016 issue of the newsletter that I'm working on currently as we speak, and we're going to get out the December issue of the newsletter in the first couple of days in the month of December, George.
Joseph, will we have a robust economy at least for the next several months?
I would think so, George.
And then after Donald Trump takes office, what happens?
Well, I think there's been an awful lot of euphoria built into certainly his winning the election, and I've got a question how far it can carry and when will it end. But we've got some serious economic problems. They're not going to be solved easily. They've been building for a number of years, and I think the markets have to correct. We're already seeing the ending of the long bond market, which you know was started in 1981, and I think it's now over and done. And at some point, what we've witnessed in bonds, I think, will spill over to the stock market. Again, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And I think you've got to be prudent and, again, look at the long term. And if you've done very well in the equity markets, it's not a bad idea to raise some cash at some point as the market moves higher and take money off the table. I don't think you ever go broke taking a profit, George.
Joseph, thank you for being on the program. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.